Well, I'm glad to be here, glad to see y'all here. For those of y'all that don't know me, I'm not your regular preacher. And you'll soon learn that, learn why. But they do ask me to come and speak once in a great while. And, two or three years ago, one Sunday night, they asked me to come speak. And about the time I got up here come this blood-curdling scream and cry, I thought, hey, they've heard me before. Then last year, they had me come and speak. I had five people here. I was the first one to speak when we closed the door for the pandemic. Then last Sunday, Brother Mike got up here and made announcements and told everybody that I'd be speaking today, and I was kind of proud. Then all of a sudden, he said, we're going to have a meal afterwards. So I thought, well, then I'd be bribing them to come. But I'm proud to be here and proud y'all here. Like I say, I don't claim to be a preacher. Maybe a speaker, and that's kind of, some people question that too. I do things a little different. Today will be a little different. It's going to be kind of a two-part sermon. I titled all my lessons or sermons, and this one I titled God's Stimulus Package. God has a purpose for everything. Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. In preparing for this, I ran across an article, 8 Questions to Ask When Preparing Your Sermon, by Rick Warren. Now, some of you probably heard of Rick Warren. He's kind of a celebrity preacher out west or somewhere. And I'll tell you, now, I don't agree with all Rick has to say, but I found this to be interesting and somewhat helpful. Now, of course, no one could out-preach Christ. Not John the Baptist, not Paul, not any other disciples, as good as they were. And no one can today. All we can do is try to do our best to spread God's word in a manner that's pleasing to Him. You know, many of us do stand in a pulpit, but we're all called to be preachers and spread the word. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe. To observe, it says, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Mark 16, verse 15 carries it just a bit further when it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's strong words, but that's words we need to hear. Backing back up to Proverbs 19, verse 21, when I prepare or study, I like to look at some of the different versions of the Bible. And a lot of times I'll get a better understanding from this version over that one. So I had never heard of the Jubilee Bible till I started studying for this. But I liked the wording they had for Proverbs 19, verse 21. Kind of caught my eye. It said, there are many thoughts in the heart of man. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. There are many thoughts in the heart of man, but nevertheless the counsel of the Lord shall stand. Remember again that we're all called to be preachers. Now, nowhere have I ever found it in His Word that it says we all got to stand up here. Now, you can be fishing with a buddy. You could be sitting on your front porch in a rocking chair, across a lunch table, whatever. But we're all called to be preachers. This morning I want to talk about some of those thoughts that Rick Warren mentioned about being a speaker or a preacher. Question number one, he says, to whom will I be preaching to? Now, unlike Jesus, who knew everybody he was speaking to, most of us don't. There are three things when sharing the Word of God we need to keep in mind. We need to speak about things that are valuable, speak about things that are interesting, and speak about things that are surprising. The Bible is stocked full of all three of these things. You know, the goal of preaching or sharing His Word, whether it's from the pulpit or, like I say, a bass boat or sitting on your front porch across the lunch table, the goal is the same. That is to get individuals from where they are to where Christ wants them to be. But one thing we need to always remember, we need to start out where they are, not where we are. Everyone didn't grow up in the church. So we need to start there. Question number two says, what does the Bible say about their needs? You know, no matter what someone's need is, the answer is there in the Bible. We just need to search it out and find it and share it with them. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Like I said, I like to read other versions. The writers at NIV put it this way. All Scripture is God's breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In other words, the answers are there. We just need to search them out. Rick's question number three was, what is the most practical way to say it? Now, for us speaking from the pulpit, it's a little easier because we can just throw it out there and hope for the best. But when we're speaking one-on-one with somebody, there could be a problem. Now, knowing the person and knowing things about them makes it easier. But when we don't know them, it could be an issue. We need to feel them out. We need to be a good listener. We need to listen to what they have to say and go from there. Question number four, he said, what is the most positive way to say it? We must say things that's positive and not be pushy. Now, trust me, we in the church can be a little bit pushy at times. Not trying to be mean or anything, but we're just trying to be helpful and want everybody to know God. But we can be a little pushy. But when we are abrasive, we're never persuasive. We must try not to be negative with our words. We need people feeling good. You know that feeling you had when you first turned your life over to Christ and was baptized? That kind of feeling. We need them to understand what's going on. Everybody has to be educated to God's Word. Question number five says, what's the most encouraging way to say it? Again, whether you're preaching from a pulpit or wherever, we must be encouraging. Not everyone has had a good week, you know, and we don't know what's going on in their life. A lot of times people are down. Like they just hadn't had, things hadn't just been going right for them. And I could understand the people at Waverly, even the people in Pinewood, Hickman County, having some of those tensions, issues. We need to consider those things when we talk to them. We must be encouraging. Everyone we speak to has three fundamental needs. Number one, to have their faith restored. Number two, their hope renewed. And number three, their love restored. If we can do these three things, we're well on the way of being on the right road to try and help them. You know, telling it like it can be sometimes is a whole lot better than going full blank and telling them how it is. I like to say when we speak to people, we need to use a kid's glove approach. We don't ever want to say anything to run someone further away from God. We want to keep them there. They need to leave with a good understanding of His Word. Again, like I say, the kid's glove approach. Gentle, but strong, but truthful. Number six says, what's the simplest way to say it? Now, I'm no Bible scholar, and you see that right now. You know, by any means of the word, but yet there are many preachers who are. And regular Christian churchgoers, as we sometimes are called, But as a rule, the general public is not. So we need to be sure what we're doing. Now, I know you've heard them, and I don't mean to sound like I'm bad-mouthing them, but if you heard preachers that they're so smart, they know all the big words, and they talk over simple-minded people like mine's head. And a lot of times, I'll be honest, they lose my attention. But we all need to try to know who we're talking to and say it in a way that helps them understand. Now, I'm not saying that these people are so smart or not needed, because, I mean, they don't want to get in there and dig and understand things that Woody don't understand. And they finally get it down where I understand it. But we need all of it. Like I say, everybody needs to be a preacher. Everybody is to be a preacher. You don't have to call yourself one. But you need to teach His Word. We need people to understand things and keep us out of the dark. Number 7 says, what's the most personal way to say it? You know, people relate to stories. Jesus used parables that helped Him keep and hold their attention, while at the same time He was educating them. You know, often a personal experience or a testimony kind of keeps it on their level. Now, we've all had issues that God has helped us with. We need to share these stories with people, because it puts it on their level, because we're on their level, and helps them understand better. And number 8 of Rick's list of 8 says, what's the most interesting way to say it? Again, Jesus used parables. And I believe all sermons can't be the hell and brimstone nature. Of course, nowadays through the years, we've kind of gotten away from that. You find some of the older guys that kind of stick with it, but most part we don't. And I'm not saying that preaching or teaching should be entertainment. But I do believe God loves laughter. And if a little simple joke kind of gets somebody's attention, or even a real serious story, we need to use what it is that God guides us to use to teach them. I feel like people who are interested would likely stay interested, and most often will go out and share what they've learned too. I told you in the beginning that I'm not your normal preacher. That I do things different. That this thing would be a 2-part sermon. So now we're going to get in part 2. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Have you ever needed an answer for something, when all of a sudden it just pops up and there it is? Or maybe you've been looking for something and this answer pops up, but you think, no, that's not what I want right now. That's not what I need. But yet God keeps throwing it at you back and forth. Yeah. It's been said that God works in mysterious ways. I believe He does. Not long ago, some of y'all probably remember Darren got up there saying, you know, I was running through my list of songs this morning, trying to make a list for Sunday morning, and this song popped up. He said, no, I don't want you to do that this morning. He said he kept on looking. Then he got to looking for an invitation song. That same song popped up there again. He passed on it that second time. A little later on, Mike sent him a message about what his sermon's going to be, and there it was, a perfect fit. God just kept throwing it at him. Now, knowing that I was going to speak today, and even after working on a sermon, one that I wasn't really happy with, I made a post on Facebook of all places saying, praying the word for my sermon Sunday will come soon. Now, some of y'all know I managed the airport. I keep my phone there on the nightstand by the vehicle. You never know when you go get a call. So here it was, 3 a.m. in the morning. My phone beeped with this message saying something of the sorts. You have a post from Linda S. you haven't seen. Now, here where it kind of got strange. First, even though I know Linda, she's not a friend on my Facebook page. And the post was on her page and not on mine. Now, I had gone to a friend's page who's dealing with cancer to see if she'd had any reports, any treatments, anything. And I'd seen where Linda had made a comment. And since I know Linda, I thought, well, I'll just click on her and see what's going on. You know, being a little nosy, see what's going on in her life. And I scrolled down through a few posts and clicked like or two, but not on the message that I was being told about. Then I left her page. So here it is, 3 a.m. in the morning. My phone's beeping, telling me of this message that I need to read. It turns out to be something written by a funeral home president in Lewisburg, Kentucky, of Branson Price, who I did not know either. After reading it, I realized it had to be God that sent it, because Mr. Price had some interesting points. I want to share some of his words with you this morning. I asked you to think about what he had to say. Mr. Price says, "For over a year now, we've been dealing with a worldwide pandemic. For years to come, it'll be debated on whether things were handled properly all around the world. Politicians have argued back and forth the best way to stimulate our economy. Health leaders argued the best way to attack it." He said, "As bad as COVID has been around the world, it doesn't concern me," he said, "as much as a spiritual pandemic the world is in." Amen to that. He said, "What kind of stimulus package will bring people back to God?" Yes, what kind of stimulus package would it take to bring people back to God? Mr. Price went on to say, that's not something, that our church leaders have to discuss, because it's already been brought up. I mean, well, you can say we got empty seats here where at one time his house was full. Every little congregation in this county and worldwide, I guess, are very few people nowadays. A lot of people say, well, little churches, the people moved to town. They might have moved to town, but they're staying at home. And according to some online, and I appreciate that, but still, it's not like it used to be. So we have argued that point back and forth a little bit. But no matter what is going on in your life that has turned you away from God, the Word of God is filled with scriptures that can stimulate your faith. Remember, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is proper for doctrines, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. He also said, God's word shows how Jesus Christ overcame attacks from the devil, attacks from Satan himself, when he died on the cross for our sins. He said, the United States stimulus package has cost taxpayers trillions of dollars. God's stimulus package is free because Christ paid it all. He said, the United States stimulus package was approved by Congress and the President. God's stimulus package was approved by Him, God Himself. The United States stimulus package was based on finances. God's stimulus package was based on our heart. And if I may add to Mr. Price's word, God's stimulus package is based on love. His love for us, you and I. Said the United States stimulus package will help for a brief period of time. God's stimulus package is good throughout eternity. And Mr. Price finished his post with these words, I encourage you to attend a worship service today and receive the stimulus package that would be life-changing. Now, you being here this morning has started that. You know, as we as humans, especially Christians and those that are not Christians, we have feel the need to worry. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Peter is telling us not to fear, not to worry. like so much. You know, we found the word Google nowadays. So I Googled the word fear not. I found it there in the Bible 365 times. That's one time a day throughout the year. God does not want us worrying. God's stimulus package is based on love. We find this in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, we don't share this enough. For it says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him. Through him. There's your stimulus package right there. The world through him might be saved. And verse 18, another one we don't share enough, says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, that he has not believeth in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, sometimes we leave out verses, I think. We pick and choose like we complain about other people. We need to know all of it. God loved us, but there are also clauses in there that we need to understand. And I'd like to stop there for just a moment and point out that God, even though he says that those that don't believe us will be damned, that God does offer forgiveness. And it may be that people don't know about God or don't know about his forgiveness is available. And a lot of that could be our fault, because we're not being the preacher, the teacher, the sharing of the word as we should be. You know, you don't have to use the big words like I talk about the smart guys to share God's word. It's pretty simple. We just need to do it. I don't want anyone ever going away thinking that there's no chance. I don't want them going away believing that there's no hope, because there is, through his forgiveness. We need to tell them, like we're told in Acts 2, verse 38 and 39. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39 is another one that we don't mention enough. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and told to all that are afar off, many, even as many as the Lord shall call. We need to let people know what God's word says. His offer of forgiveness still stands today. But it's like they say on TV, on a lot of these products, it's a limited time offer. For once we meet God after death, that offer is not offered anymore. It'll be too late. So I ask you to remember the words of Mr. Price. God's stimulus package is for eternity. But also remember the words of Peter when he said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission. Like the other version says, for forgiveness of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's no better stimulus package available anywhere. I mean, we all enjoyed the checks we got, for sure. But they're not the stimulus package that God's offer. And it's free, because Christ paid it all already. You know, God always has given us stuff, whether it be our jobs, our health, our homes, or whatever. He has and is there for us still today. Now, I make a practice. I never speak on money, as everyone is always so good to give, and the elders are so wise in using the money. Some of you seen on the overhead, or you read it in the bulletin. The fifth Sunday contribution is always earmarked special for something. Months ago, it went on paying for this building out back. And we know the many blessings it has blessed so many because of, I mean, it wasn't no time when we got the building built. 2010 flood. It come in handy. And now it's doing it again. The elders haven't told me to say this, but today's contribution is no different. I'm being told that it's going to go to these congregations across the area that has lost things because of the flood. And like I said, everyone has always been so good to give, and I'm sure you already have today. And again, I can't emphasize it enough that the elders hadn't told me to get up there and plug. We need money. Through the years, some of y'all know I'm a cowboy poet. I entertain sometime. I've emceed many benefits through the years. And whenever I have, even after knowing everyone has come in, dropped money in the donation jar, bought tickets to the show, or bought things through auction, and given and given and given, I passed the hat at the end. You'd be surprised how much extra you get. And I really appreciate it. I tell them all the time, you know, I have found through the years that I got that extra quarter, 50 cents, or a dollar that I can do without for the moment. And like I said, you'd be surprised how much has gone in. See, I'm not going to pass the hat this morning, by no means. But I will tell you, if you do have that extra 50 cents or a dollar or two, the baskets are still out. And these people and these congregations will appreciate it. That it's going to be their stimulus package from God through you and through me. With that all said, if you haven't made plans to get your stimulus package from God, now is the time to do it. Remember, His stimulus package is for eternity. And now is the time to, and like I said before, it's a limited time offer and one that we cannot live without. Jesus has already paid it all. So you can't beat that deal. So if you haven't taken on Christ as your Savior, there is no greater time than right now. But I do like to throw this in too anytime. We've all been hesitant at times. And sometimes we don't want to come up in a crowd. But that offer is extended 24/7. So all you got to do is call one of the elders or Mike or somebody, and they'll help take care of it for you. I was baptized myself once on a Thursday night, me and Carla and the preacher and about one more. Didn't have a crowd, but nobody there cheering me on. But it worked, and that's all we asked for. So, like I say, if you have anything on your heart this morning, come up together, we stand and sing.